are you going on your summer vacation? We are going to discuss how to make the most of our vacations, how to enjoy them more. We're going to talk about how we can include positivity in our travel and leisure time with a guest psychologist who also loves to travel. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Jamie Kurtz is our guest, an associate professor of psychology at James Madison University in Virginia, where her research focuses on strategies for savoring and well-being. She writes the Psychology Today blog, Happy Trails, and she is the author of the forthcoming book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
I love to travel. My listeners know I love to travel. I am so looking forward to a trip I have next month. I'll talk more about that later. But why do you suppose so many of us adore traveling?
I think when you have a trip planned to somewhere you've never been before or someplace really special or beautiful, it's this canvas onto which you can project anything that you want. You can have romance, you can be a different person, you can be relaxed, you can have anything. So we have these fantasies that we associate with our travels that can make us have something wonderful to anticipate in life, yeah. But can also set a really high bar for ourselves, which is something I talk about a lot in the book.
Right, because we have such high expectations sometimes. I have to admit that sometimes that those expectations aren't always met.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what are the benefits of travel?
The benefits of travel, there's some really interesting research in how it promotes positive changes in our personality. So it encourages openness to new ideas, to new ways of thinking, new ways of living. It encourages just extroversion sometimes. So you have to sometimes talk to people that you wouldn't otherwise be talking to. It can encourage creativity, and that's part of the whole open-mindedness piece. It's relaxing if we do it well. We learn things about ourselves that we don't always see during our everyday routines, our everyday lives. And it gives us something to look forward to, something positive on the horizon that even if you're having a rough day or you're in a rough patch in life, just knowing you have something to look forward to sometimes can just help you get through each day.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels as though we are pressured into having the perfect vacation, the ideal vacation or travel experience. Mm-hmm. You know, to get that ideal photograph, we need to see this, you know, we have to see this specific place. And I'll have to admit, one of my problems is that I want to, you know, I schedule every moment of mm-hmm. a day. So I'm always, you know, okay, then we have to see this, and then we have to go here, and then we have to shop there, and it can be exhausting. Why do you think it seems so difficult to craft a good time for ourselves?
I think exactly what you're saying is a huge stumbling block, one we don't always anticipate, but really we don't have that much time. We are spending a lot of money and a lot of energy on this experience, and we get one shot at it. Much of the time, travel is a very rare and privileged thing to be able to do. So that creates a tremendous amount of pressure. And you can always be asking yourself, you know, might I be eating a better meal right now? Is there a better view that I could be enjoying right now? And if we get ourselves trapped in that mindset, it can absolutely spoil our good time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge reason.
How do we get out of that mindset?
It's a tricky one. There's an interesting personality distinction in psychology, maximizers and satisficers. And maximizers are those kind of people who always wonder, is this the best? Could I be doing better? And they tend to have less fun and have much more regret. So the satisficer idea is you have standards. You know what you like and you pursue those things, but you don't have that inner voice nagging at you. And trying to cultivate that kind of a mindset is easier said than done, for sure. But I think that's part of it. And I think also, I tend to be a maximizer when I travel, so I think about this a lot. When I'm with other people, simple thing, but it can't always be about me and what makes me happy. And you have to compromise, you have to consider other people. And that helps quiet that inner voice I see a big difference when I travel by myself versus with other people. You kind of outsource some of that to them, and you know, you can stop stressing so much about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Define what you mean by happy travel.
Sure. So I'm in the positive psychology area of research, and when we talk about a good life, we talk about a life that is full of pleasurable moments, but also a sense of engagement and a sense of meaning. And I apply that same definition, those three components, to what I call happy travel. So you want it to be fun, sure. You want to have these pleasurable, relaxing moments. But it's also good to have some engagement, some kind of activity that absorbs you, that challenges you. And then also a sense of meaning. You know, there's some deeper reason why I came to this place, why I'm on this trip. So if you can have all three of those pieces in your vacation, I think you're very lucky, and I think that that's really the secret.
And I did want to share some of the 12 rules for happy travel from your forthcoming book. And because these are very helpful to me as I'm looking forward to my trip to Bali in June, first time in the country, part of the world, and I'm really looking forward to that. But let's just start with rule number one: more time away is not always better. Quality over quantity. So break that down for us.
Sure. I think there's this instinct, and I have fallen prey to this myself, that if you are going away, especially if you're going far away and you have to buy a plane ticket anyway, you should stay in that place as long as possible. But, and there's some real economic and rational thinking there. But if you come home, there's actually research on this, that if you come home from your trip and have to immediately get back to your routines of work and other responsibilities, the relaxation that you gained on that trip is pretty much wiped out. So you need a little bit of a buffer to come home, unwind, open the mail, do the laundry, get over your jet lag. That's really important. So that's strike one against more time. Two, unfortunately, we get used to things. We get used to stuff. So you're looking out on the beach on the 10th day of your vacation, and it's not as potent and affecting as it was on the first or second day. And that's just a basic psychological fact. So staying all that extra time doesn't seem to really be buying you a commensurate amount of extra happiness.
That's good. I'm glad too. I originally was going to come back from Bali and then like go to work almost the next day, and then I thought that over. I'm not doing that anymore. Taking a few more days off after that. And this one is the one that I also posted this piece on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's rule number three: let the anticipation build. Planning and researching are part of the fun. And how do we do that without maybe, without building our expectations up too high?
Right. There's definitely a fine line there. But just to give this some context, there's an interesting study that was done a couple of years ago. It's talked about a lot, that had a sample of Dutch vacationers basically track their moods before, during, and after their vacation. And they found that the time leading up to it was just as positive and happy as the time they were actually away. And there were times when it even seemed a little bit better. So, you know, when you're in advance of a trip, you're in some kind of a fantasy mode. You're not dealing with stress, jet lag, how do I find my way from here to there? I don't speak the language. You know, it's all kind of Pinterest boards and guidebooks and beautiful fantasy. So there is some definite benefit to dwelling in that, to enjoying it. But we don't want to do it to the point where we are glamorizing our trip beyond reality, and then we can only be disappointed. So we do have to strike that balance. But I think there's certainly ways that we can build the anticipation by getting a little bit of the backstory of where we're going, giving it a little bit more context, learning the history, learning the culture, the food. I like to go to restaurants that are in that kind of culinary vein before I travel, or try to make something from that culture. It's just kind of fun. Or watch a movie that's set in the scene where I'm going to eventually be, which is a really surreal kind of experience. Like, wow, I'm going to be in that spot. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. A novel that's set in that location can just bring it to life, peel back some of the layers. And that's a way to, I think, build the anticipation without setting such a high and unrealistic bar for yourself. But it is easy to do that. And the travel industry is completely complicit in that, right? They want to sell you the dream. And so if you only look at the Pinterest boards and the glossy images, you can get a little disappointed. A funny story on that point, a couple of years ago, we went to Costa Rica and we were staying at this hotel that had on its website a picture of this really dramatic volcano, and it looked like it was right in the front yard. I mean, it was just so close, and like, wow, that's going to be amazing when we get there. And we get there, and I swear it had been photoshopped. It wasn't.
It was like 10 miles away, right?
It was so far away. It was. We never even saw it because it was clouded over. So, I mean, that's a dramatic example, but there can be times where we're sold, you know, something that maybe doesn't match up to reality. So, yeah.
Well, I was there on that same day, Jamie. So I know the volcano you speak of. But we are talking with Jamie Kurtz. She is an associate professor of psychology at James Madison University in Virginia. And we are talking with her about happy traveling, how we can make the most out of our vacations and travel experiences. She is the author of the forthcoming book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations, and she writes the Psychology Today blog, Happy Trails. We will welcome your travel experience and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We're talking about vacations and getting the most out of our vacations. And we are getting some tips for happy travel with our guest, Jamie Kurtz, associate professor of psychology at James Madison University in Virginia. She writes the Psychology Today blog, Happy Trails, and she has a book coming out, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations. So what's your next trip? What are you looking forward to doing? Do you have a vacation experience or question for our guest? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to the phones. Nick in Winona, Minnesota is with us. Thanks for waiting, Nick. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, share my trip this summer. I'm heading with my girlfriends. We are going to car camp from Montana to the Grand Canyon.
That
and so we plan on doing a lot of hiking from there in between.
Are you still there, Nick?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like you dropped off. Your last words were cut off. So Nick, you're gonna go camp. Car camping means that you're gonna drive around in your car, just pull off in a park somewhere, and pull out your tent and stay there for a while.
That's the idea.
Very cool.
We have the Subaru loaded up with an air mattress and gear, and we'll see if that works.
Wonderful. So, what are you looking forward to with this trip?
Well, it started out, she had never seen the Yellowstone before, and that just kind of evolved into seeing, I guess, the whole Rocky Mountains. But we really just wanted to, just have an adventure, go somewhere we haven't been before.
Yeah, and I like to do that, too, and I look for sometimes novel or different things. Jamie, what do you think?
This trip sounds amazing. Just the idea of seeing beautiful, awe-inspiring places with someone is a really, really powerful experience that you can build, you know, really rich memories, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Good
so
for you.
Nick, I'm going to give you another of the 12 rules for happy travel from the book, which is going to be coming out, I think, just before Memorial Day. Yeah, and this is one that, so when planning a trip, map out how a typical day might look from beginning to end. Why is that important, Jamie?
I think we can focus too much on the wrong things when we're so far ahead of and so far removed from the experience that it can sometimes impact our decision making. So, for example, might decide, oh, to save a little bit of extra money, we should stay in this campground that is, you know, in this, it's only about a half hour away. So if you think about, okay, well, what would that actually mean? That would mean that we would have to skip out on hiking, or we would have to, you know, figure out a whole new way to get to somewhere. And it might be worth spending a little bit more money to avoid that. So sometimes when we're very big picture about our travels, we can think too much about the wrong things. So it can kind of put you in that mindset and aid in your decision making.
And I've not done a, you know, cross country car camping trip, but I would also think of things like maybe Nick's experience like this is that finding campgrounds that have showers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
just to have a little bit of creature comfort sometimes. That would be me anyway. Let's take another call. Julie in Madison. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hi. What is your What are you planning?
Sure. Me and three friends are planning to go to Italy in about a week and a half.
Oh.
Yeah, we're kind of going all over the place, and we've been planning this, it seems like, forever. But we did a lot of the things you're... guests talked about getting together, doing a little Italian-themed meal. Mm. We've watched some movies. And I think the other thing that's been helpful is we each kind of took an area of Italy and did some research about things to do, places to go. Because otherwise it seemed to me would be a little overwhelming to kind of plan all of it. So mm-hmm. It's been good to have people to plan with.
So tell us just a couple of highlights that you are anticipating, Julie, in terms of, you know, a place that you're going in Italy.
Well, in Rome, we're definitely going to do the Vatican tour. Then we're going to drive up all through Tuscany and head to Cinque Terre. We're adding Venice. Yeah, we got a lot on the plate. So
what fun! What fun! What fun! And I'm sure you all get along just fine, Julie. Have you traveled together before?
No.
Oh,
so it'll be interesting. But we all want to do this trip, and many of us, or three of us, really haven't traveled abroad. So it will be interesting. I'll say that. But we're all looking forward to it.
I'm going to jump to number 9 on the 12 rules for happy travel. Traveling with others is intense. In the best and worst ways, consider travel compatibility before booking, Jamie. So it's already booked, too late for Julie, but why is this important? And maybe some advice on what to do if there might be a little bit of disagreement, I don't know, on where to go and what to do.
Gosh, yeah. Well, I love how you said you're each taking a different part of Italy and doing the research. That can be, it can sort of plant the seeds of frustration when one person is doing all of that work or any of the work. So I love that you're splitting it up. That's fantastic. And I think also consider your personality and everybody's personality stays the same when you travel in many ways. So if you're the kind of person who needs some time to yourself every day, travel can be a challenge because you don't always get that. And when you're in the moment, when you're there, that can be taken as something, there's something wrong, you know. So I would say ahead of time, if you're that kind of person, you know, just say, you know, guys, I'm used to spending a lot of time by myself, and I might just need to do that every now and then, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. You know, so kind of saying in advance what your needs might be, and we don't always know what those things are, but like kind of preempting potential conflict is one tip. And then also being able to listen to one another, compromise. I would talk about money and your different approaches to spending money, right? Because if one person doesn't want to go out to nice restaurants and the rest of you do, that can fuel some frustration. So I think openness, conversation, and compromise are really important. And it's so easy to get swept away by this amazing trip. Even as you were talking about it, my mind was wandering to to Italy myself. Yeah. But, you know, once you're on the ground, there can be some unexpected stressors. Because, yeah, it is intense to be with people when you're tired and jet-lagged in this foreign place. So,
Where's your next trip going to be, Jamie?
I am going to Sweden in 6 days. I take a study abroad class of students from my university. So there are 13 of us. And we're going to Stockholm, where it's going to be a low of 29 degrees on the day we arrive, but that's okay. And it's still wonderful. And then we go down to Copenhagen. And in the middle, we go and stay at a castle in southern Sweden for about a week. So we've been doing this for 4 years, and I absolutely love Scandinavia and taking students abroad. It's really fun, but that's coming up very fast.
Yeah, it is. Mona in Madison has something coming up very fast, too. Hi, Mona.
Hi. How are you? Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow for a month. And
Oops, we lost you.
Yes, are you still there?
Yes, where are you going?
Okay. I'm to the UK. I'm going to Cornwall, Wales, Scotland, and 2 days in London for a month. And I've never been to Cornwall or Scotland, but I have a friend in the Highlands of Scotland that's going to show me around, which will be lovely. I've got tips for there. One is be very familiar with the train schedule if you're not going to rent a car and buses, because they have something called bank holidays. And besides Sundays, things don't run the same on bank holidays. You have to be careful if you're trying to get someplace. But my other thing is I've taken tons of cross-country road trips on my own. I mostly always travel alone. And with my dog. And I have been off the beaten path and seen fabulous things and met wonderful people. And I highly recommend a book called Roadside America. It's also online, where you can look up the most kitschy stuff that's not far off the main roads. And it's so much fun just to go explore and see these things that, you know, are just weird. And
yeah,
it's so American.
I have seen a few of those things from in Wisconsin, too. Mona, thank you. Well, you know, that brings up a couple of points, Jamie. You know about your planning should include knowing about transportation and when things are running and when they're open and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, the anticipation piece isn't just getting excited and looking at beautiful photos of mountain vistas and oceans. It's mm-hmm. also trying to figure out, okay, what are these details, these logistics that I'm going to need to know? And that piece isn't always fun. But certainly if you want to ensure a good time, you have to do that work as well. So good job, Mona.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, for sure. That reminded me that, and this wasn't my planning. We went with a tour group, and we were in Italy, and we went to Florence, and it was on a Monday, and the museum where the David statue was closed, and it was like, well, this was bad timing. Well, why did we come on a Monday? But anyway, and then you get, you know, that can be disappointing. How do you suggest we deal with, you know, the disappointment that can occur during a vacation?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so because you have such high standards for yourself when you travel, the disappointments can weigh really heavily. I have found, and this is mostly through experience of a lot of snafus on the road, is that these things make hilarious stories later.
Yeah.
So if you can consider the story value of it, that can be kind of fun and give you a different perspective. It's also great if you can travel with someone who laughs at things with you. But thinking of it as an opportunity, right? So when you didn't get to see the David, of course, that's really unfortunate, but I bet that you did something else that you wouldn't have had the opportunity to do. So having a plan B, perhaps, or at least being open to plan B that might arise naturally, can be a nice way to look at it. And sometimes those things end up being your greatest memories.
Yeah. We just chalked it up to the sometimes bad luck we have that we do laugh about whenever we go on vacation, like when we left for Hawaii and a tsunami warning was in place, things like that. We're going to be right back. We are talking with Jamie Kurtz, Associate Professor of Psychology at James Madison University in Virginia, talking with her about happy traveling. She is the author of the forthcoming book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations. And we'll take more of your questions and your experiences for her in just a few minutes. We are talking about our vacations and how to make them happy vacations. And we are welcoming your questions for our guest, who is the Happy Traveler. Well, actually, she's the author of the forthcoming book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations. She's also an associate professor of psychology, Jamie Kurtz, and she writes the Psychology Today blog, Happy Trails. She's giving us some tips on how we can have happier travel. And we're, again, welcoming your questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Where are you going on your next vacation? What are you looking forward to? Do you enjoy your vacations for the most part? Katie in Burlington is with us. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I just wanted to share a really wonderful vacation that my husband and I did last year in May. And I know it's not for everybody, but we read about it in the Milwaukee Journal. There's a bike trail. It's called the Katy Trail, K-A-T-Y, and it goes across Missouri. And it's all flat. And we started in Clinton, Missouri, and then we biked to different cities along the way and stayed at bed and breakfast. And we parked our car just north of St. Louis, and we had hired this company that does planning of the trip, which not everybody would have to do that. It was a little bit more expensive to do it that way, but we biked about 50 miles a day, which at some points, because it was beginning of the season of biking, I don't know if we were ready for it yet, and I know my knees were kind of hurting, like at about 40 miles or so, and my husband was complaining about his knees, and that was a little bit difficult the first 2 days, but finally we got it together. You know, we kind of had it all out that this wasn't going to be the most lovely experience. But in the long run, it was just so neat because you get to see the Lewis and Clark Trail. You see the area where the Missouri River is. You get to see, like, snakes and things that come across the trail, you know, because you're moving at a slower pace. And the one thing we realize is we think that the miles are a lot longer in Missouri than here in Wisconsin, we decided.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. And I love that story, Katie. And you've given me an idea for a vacation. So I thank you for sharing it. And, Jamie, there's another thing to consider. Figure out if you can bike that 50 miles a day, maybe, or work up to it. There's one way to plan.
Right. I have to say that my dream trips are all involving bike riding because I think it's just the best way to see a place, to really learn about a place, to get off the beaten path. I think it's just the best way. But unfortunately, my thoughts on that are mostly theoretical right now because I haven't really done it. Yeah. So yeah, but I like how she said, even though it was hard and even though they maybe weren't up for it, it seems like it was such a wonderful experience overall. So sometimes those difficulties get overshadowed by the fact that it was overall a pretty fantastic experience.
Yeah, that's a great story, and I truly am going to look into that. My husband just got back from a bike trip where he 440 miles on the Trace Natchez Parkway, and camping along the way, completely self-sustained. And what's hard about that, though, is that there are all of a sudden severe thunderstorms crop up, and there are tornadoes in the region, and there's flooding in the region, and so you really do have to dodge some danger sometimes when you're on those kinds of trips. But you know what? He got done with it and said what an awesome experience it was. So there's something going on there. Instead of complaining about the bad weather, he's talking about what an awesome experience it was. What's going on, do you think?
Right. In psychology, there's this term, the rosy view, which is used to describe experiences just like this. So something that's kind of generally thought of in a positive way that is a memory. And when we look back on it, we tend to forget or downplay some of those more negative or trying times for various reasons. And we look back on it as much more positive than it was in all of its individual moments. And that happens over and over and over. So it has to be, something has to be pretty, like, unequivocally awful for us to look back and say that was horrible. We generally tend to spin our vacations in a way that
that serves us well, which is another reason why travel is such a great investment, because we tend to look back on it so, so fondly, even if it wasn't all that great in the moment.
Yeah, that's funny. I wanted to ask you about another one of your tips, and I'm looking for it. Go deeper. Get the backstory on the people you meet and the places you visit. Don't just take a snapshot of that landmark. Really, really kind of talk to the person on the park bench.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And sometimes we want to see so much. We want to check off as many boxes as we can, and we do this sort of fast travel. And that's a little counter, it runs counter to this goal of peeling back the layers. So I love the bike tour for this very reason. It allows you, it forces you to go slowly, to maybe stop and ask people for directions, or pull off in that little gas station for a snack and, see something you might not have otherwise seen. So I think that's one reason the bike tours are so great. But it's not the only way, of course. Things that allow you to actually meet local people. So staying, doing homestays or staying in bed and breakfast where you're interacting with the owner more than you would in a hotel allows you that. Getting off the tourist path, don't go to those restaurants that have the English language menu in a foreign country and have some charismatic person trying to pull you in, because it's not probably a very authentic experience. But going maybe even 3 blocks or so off of that tourist path, you might find things that are much more authentic and memorable.
Gary on Facebook says, before spending a fortune bouncing around the world, explore your own backyard and neighborhood. Well, how about that? Can a staycation or a close-to-home vacation offer the same benefits as that tour of Italy?
I think so. The last chapter of my book is exploring this idea. And many of us live in places that people come to for vacation, and they see it as a tourist or a traveler. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia. People come there all the time to visit Thomas Jefferson's home and the University of Virginia and the Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah National Park. And I try really hard to kind of put myself in that mindset of someone who's seeing it for the first time, thinking about how special it is. And it's hard, because anything that you see every day gets ordinary. But I think with the right mindset, we can have those moments of wonder and appreciation, even for our own homes.
Yeah. Let me take one more call. Heidi and Toma's been waiting. Hi, Heidi.
Hello. I wanted to tell you about a trip. My husband and I have traveled extensively over the years, and we've just been itching to travel with the kids. We've done a lot of travel in the United States with them and gone places, and we all decide what we're going to do. And the kids really wanted to go to Japan, so we took them to Japan last summer. And we've traveled internationally, but it was a little daunting to do it with kids, so we did it with a travel agent. And it was the most amazing experience I've ever had. It was one of the last places I wanted to go, but the kids really wanted to go, and we saw things that, without a travel agent, I don't know that we would have seen. So I know not everybody wants to do a travel agency, but this Danette was very helpful for us.
Thank you so much, Heidi. I wanted to hear your experience. And Jamie, we're almost out of time. Do you have any final advice you'd like to leave us with today on how to have happier travel?
Sure. I think a new challenge that many of us face is technology and how to preserve moments and share them with others, which we love doing, while not taking ourselves out of the moments. Right. So I think that deserves a lot of intentional thought before we embark on our trip, because we have these habits that we've developed of taking a million photos and sharing them constantly. And we need to think about, is that really going to enhance my experience? So that's a new travel challenge many of us face.
Yeah.
That's important to consider.
I'll have to consider that, too, as I'm getting ready to go on my trip. Jamie, thank you so much for being with us, and I hope that we can have you back maybe when your book comes out. The book is The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations, and it comes out on May 29th. Jamie Kurtz is an associate professor of psychology at James Madison University in Virginia.